Welcome to the Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast, brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Rail Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Rail and Intermodal, Todd Tranowski. As Todd presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading a PDF or PowerPoint version of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads of the Rail Market Update, as well as the weekly Trucking Market Update with Avery Weiss and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the FTR State of Freight Rail Market Update podcast. As always, I am your host, Todd Tranowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for joining us this week. Hopefully you were able to get some rest and relaxation over the holiday weekend. Hopefully you were able to enjoy the 4th of July holiday last week and are getting back to business this week, or you're getting ready to take a midsummer vacation before the kids go back to school. I know in many places the kids go back to school next month, getting one last glimpse of summer fun and beach fun in before they go back. Hopefully you're able to do that here before we get that much closer to the start of school, the start of fall, the start of peak season. Speaking of the fall, I want to take a minute to remind everybody that this September we'll be gathering again at the Crown Plaza Union Station in downtown Indianapolis for a whole week this year to talk about the transportation industry, to talk about what we're seeing not just in rail and rail equipment, but also in truck and trailer equipment. We'll also have a special Friday of content. We normally, many of you know who have been there before, that we don't typically have events on Friday. Well, we do this year. We have events on Friday this year. We've partnered with our friends from Railroad Financial Corporation. They're going to provide a day of content on Friday around equipment, rail equipment valuations, both on the freight car side as well as the locomotive side. As many of you know, they weren't able to gather in Palm Springs this past March, and so they wanted to give people sort of a mid-year update, and that's what they're going to do on Friday. So definitely worth your time to be in Indianapolis Wednesday through Friday, September 15th through the 17th, about 2 months from today, exactly 60 days from today, to hear all about the rail freight, the rail equipment markets, as well as the rail equipment finance markets as well. Make plans now to be there. So looking at it this week, everybody felt the July 4th holiday. You know, we talked last week about how the numbers really didn't show a holiday impact, because with the holiday on Sunday, most people, most manufacturing facilities shut down on Monday. And so it is these numbers that we're going to go through this week that really show the holiday effect. And it is a significant holiday effect, a little bit more significant of a holiday effect than you would typically see because of how the holiday fell. With it falling on a Sunday and the holiday being Monday, it created an extended hangover, an extended reduction of volumes as you got through last week. And it definitely shows across just about every commodity group we're going to go through. Intermodal took a very significant, probably more significant downturn than I expected. Certainly, with all of the pressure in the system, all of the congestion in the system, the holiday really didn't do anything to work that out. Folks didn't use the holiday to catch up necessarily. There was a significant downturn, and we would expect to see this downturn bump right back up to where it was running before the holiday week, because there is so much pressure in the system. Now, it'll be interesting to see what the effects are of some of the embargoes that we've seen come out, both with Eastern carriers and Western carriers trying to ration volumes and sort of prorate volumes through their network. We'll have to see what the net effect of that is. Western Railroad just the other day announced that for a week it's not going to move international boxes into its Chicago facility. And so that's going to create issues. That's going to create other issues in the supply chain, particularly for retailers and manufacturers who need those parts. And we know there are parts, pieces of the supply chain where folks are waiting for equipment that's sitting in containers. This is not going to help that. It's going to force those folks to look elsewhere to get their goods moved. But hopefully we would expect to see this number, for this volume number for intermodal, bounce right back. There's significant pressure in the system, even as carriers work through various issues in the East and the West. The trailer market showed a little bit of a decline, but it really just showed a seasonal pattern. We're out of phase by about a week this year on the seasonal comparisons, but if you look at the chart, you can see that the blue line showed a little bit of a run-up before the holiday, and then it tapered down in the holiday week, maybe a little bit less than you would normally see seasonally. So on a net-net basis, you're right back to the five-year average level, which is a very healthy level for the trailer market. Containers felt it more significantly than trailers did, which, looking at the intermodal graph, you would expect, seeing how dramatic the decline in intermodal was. It's no surprise that containers also felt a significant downturn. But again, we expect that it will turn right back to positive territory as we get next week, as we get a full week of business in, and as there is processing of this excess volume that's in the system and this high pressure that's in the system to move additional goods, particularly as we work our way toward the peak season, as we work our way to August, as we work our way to the back-to-school holiday season import rush, we would expect to see significant pressure in the system and significant upward pressure on intermodal volumes. Switching gears, looking at the carload side, overall carload volumes definitely felt the holiday effect. If you look at the four-week average numbers, they all take a significant decline in the latest week. That is all driven by significant declines in the most recent holiday week. The declines in the holiday week were very significant in just about all cases. And that had a significant impact even on the four-week numbers. It was enough to move them down significantly, as you can see in the overall carload picture. Economically sensitive freight shows a little bit more of a decline, but really essentially a seasonal behavior, just like we talked about with trailers, where we're out of phase by a week this year. But ultimately, you see a little bit of a run-up before the holiday and then a decline after the holiday. We would expect, as we get back to a more normal cadence in the present week that we're in, we would expect to see the volumes for economically sensitive freight come right back to where they were running, right about in line with the five-year average. Now, as a quick reminder for those of you who don't listen all the time, who maybe don't get FTR products, when we talk about economically sensitive freight, that means there is no coal, there is no agriculture, and there is no petroleum in that number. It's just those sectors that are more closely tied to the underlying economy. Things like lumber and wood, things like metals, things like automobiles, those sectors that are more directly linked to growth or decline in the underlying economy. Coal had been running right about 75,000 carloads a week on the strength of metallurgical coal volumes. It took a significant decline in the latest week. We'll have to see when we get this week's data next Wednesday. Where do we come back to? Do we come right back to that 75,000 carload level, or do we come back lower? This will be something interesting to watch, given that metallurgical coal is largely supporting the recent uptick in volumes. That is volume that's not as sticky as domestic utility volume, and so that spigot can turn on and off relatively quickly because the U.S. is a swing supplier in the global markets, and so we'll have to watch that closely and see once we get through the holiday, where does the coal market come back to? Where does the coal freight demand come back to? Grain, the other major bulk sector that's not included in the economically sensitive category, continued its decline. Obviously, it had been trending lower for about the last 6 weeks before the holiday, and it accentuated those gains in the holiday week. We're now below our five-year average, and we'll have to see as things turn around, as we get to a full week, where does that number come back to? Do we set a floor here? Do we get back to that 31, 32,000 carload a week level? Or where do we settle out? We'll be watching this closely as we go forward over the next several weeks. Chemicals traffic showed a little bit of a bounce right before the holiday and then a significant decline in the holiday week. Again, this is one we're going to have to watch closely to see as we get a full week of data in. How does it bounce back? Where does it bounce back to? We're still well above the five-year average. We're still doing very well in the chemical sector, but we're not doing nearly as well as we were doing toward the end of April and early part of May. Petroleum really hasn't helped. It's been pretty steady. Even as crude prices have risen, it's really sort of held 19,500 carloads a week pretty consistently. And we had obviously saw a downturn in the holiday week, and we would expect to see that reverse as we get into the week ahead. We're starting to see a little bit more drilling activity. For the second consecutive week, the Baker Hughes rig count numbers that many of you in that space look at come out on Friday afternoons. They were up by 5 2 weeks ago. They were up by 4 in the latest week, even with the holiday. We'll have to see when they come out this week, do we continue that sort of slow growth cadence, or do we go back to, you know, up 1 every week, flat, where it's a much slower treading water posture. It's taken a while for drilling to come back in that space, even as prices have risen. We'll keep an eye on it, certainly, as we go through the summer, particularly if crude prices remain elevated. Stone, sand, and gravel, we've talked about this a lot in recent weeks. It's really remains fairly steady, right? About 25,000 carloads a week below its five-year average. Just sort of holding its own, holding its ground there, so to speak. The lumber and wood markets had been slowly declining. That picked up in the holiday week, but because of the holiday, we would expect some of that decline to reverse when we get full week data again next Wednesday. We would expect to come back closer to that 6,800, 6,900 carload a week level in the week that we're presently in, because there is still demand in the system for lumber and wood. Pulp and paper had been a good news story, had been trending essentially in line with seasonal expectations, very close to its five-year average. It took a dip in the holiday week. Again, we should see it come right back to that five-year trend line when we get this week's data next Wednesday. We should be able to see that bounce back pretty quickly. Automotive remains right about 20,000 carloads a week. It didn't move down as significantly as other commodity groups, but it was already running at a pretty low level because of supply issues, because of issues with semiconductors and rubber and resins and products that you need to construct an automobile. And until those get rectified, we're not going to expect to see a rebound in this commodity group. We're just, there is not the there's not the supply chain flexibility to handle those disruptions. Yes, there's demand in the marketplace. Yes, if you look just at the demand side of the equation, you would expect this number to be much higher. But it's not because the automakers don't want to produce. It's because they don't have the parts to be able to produce. And certainly shutting down international intermodal movements into the middle of the country, into Chicago for a week is not going to help that. It's not going to help alleviate that situation. I've heard a whole lot of different predictions for when the auto manufacturers will get back on their feet. But most recently, I saw a news item that suggested that additional facilities are going to be offline for longer through the month of July, which suggests to me that we're continuing to see supply chain bottlenecks. We're continuing to see it take time to get parts through the system. And we'll have to see how long that continues to hang over the automotive space until it clears up. We don't expect to see much above 20,000 carloads a week in this sector. So to wrap up, the July 4th holiday put a lot of pressure across the board and the carload and intermodal volumes, but they should rebound quickly, as there's a lot of pressure in the system. There's a lot of demand for goods really across the supply chain, and that's going to flow itself all the way through the system, all the way through carload and intermodal markets as we go forward and as we move toward the peak season. And with that, I'm going to wrap up. I hope everybody found this helpful. Hopefully we see everybody in September in Indianapolis. Thank you all for taking time out of your busy schedules to listen. Feel free to reach out to myself or any member of the FTR team if you ever have any questions about what you hear in the podcast, what you see in our reports, what you're hearing in the marketplace. We love to talk about the industry. We love to talk about what's going on out there. Always happy to hear from folks out there. Make sure what they're seeing, what you're seeing out there aligns with what we're seeing out there. Make sure we're all on the same page. And with that, I hope you all have a great week. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.
That's it for this week's Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. The Rail Market Update will be published each week along with a downloadable PDF of the presentation. If you find this transportation intelligence useful, please take a moment to give us a positive rating on your podcast platform of choice and send us your feedback by email at podcast@ftrintel.com. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.